Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You know, Hamas has both political and military branches. Ismail Hayek, based in Qatar, leads Hamas's political branch, while Mohammed Def runs the military arm. And Yahya Sinwar, who oversees Hamas's political and military operations in Gaza, is considered Israel's most wanted target, and especially because he orchestrated the October 7th attack. A recent Israeli airstrike killed three of Hayek's sons. This comes amid ongoing ceasefire talks in Egypt. Hamas cannot hand over the 40 hostages, including women, elderly, and sick, as an Israeli proposal requires, raising concerns that more hostages than previously known are dead. Hamas is calling for a permanent ceasefire and the return of Palestinians to their homes in the north. Israel said it will allow 150,000 Palestinians to return to northern Gaza. Hamas is holding civilian hostages, something totally contrary to all legal and moral standards. And apparently a lot of them have died, and they're asking for a permanent ceasefire. Hey, they've been violating permanent ceasefires for generations. Hamas is evil and cannot be trusted for anything. And then there's Iran. Okay, joining me at 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. What you been up to lately, Skip?
Oh, Colonel, I've been doing all kinds of stuff. You know, same old, but you know, I was just thinking you were going to go over to Israel recently. You didn't quite make it over there. And I'm wondering, any regrets? Because you could have had a very exciting time over in Israel.
It is true, but they don't need that many 80-year-old Rangers over there right now.
Oh, you shouldn't sell yourself short, Colonel.
It's my amount of time I don't need to be asleep that is the anyway, let's not go there. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the World War III we might be headed towards. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom, and we'll talk with General Chris Mookie Walker about his time in the Air Force and his plans to continue serving our nation. Then we'll talk with a young man who will be entering West Point this July, Nathan Shang. And then we'll learn about the Military Order of the Purple Heart as we talk with Ron Allen. And finally, General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month.
Troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom, and we'll start with the news. As we expected, Israel did respond to Iran's attack on them by striking them Thursday. They also hit in Iraq and Syria. The question now is, how will Iran respond? They may go nuclear. That would be amazing, horrible, and who knows where that would lead. Neither the U.S. nor anyone else was supporting Israel in their attack on Iran, so there's no issue there. But I expect a lot of people will be supporting Israel if Iran responds. Let's see what happens. And now, for more news regarding Israel, take it away, Skip.
Well, Colonel, protesters demonstrating against the war in Gaza repeatedly interrupted a Senate hearing attended by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. The protesters interrupted the Senate Armed Services Committee hearing on Capitol Hill twice, demanding the U.S. stop funding Israel and supporting a genocide in Gaza where Israel is fighting Hamas. The group made it into the hearing room while Austin was delivering his opening remarks on the Pentagon's 2025 budget request, forcing the committee to pause while police removed them from the room. "Stop killing my people," one demonstrator said. "Stop funding Israel." Several protesters began chanting to stop the genocide in Gaza, and at least one said we should try to work on addressing issues like health care and climate change instead of sending money to Israel. Senator Jack Reed, Democrat from Rhode Island, the committee's chair, scolded protesters for interrupting the hearing. Quote, "It is not appropriate for comments or demonstrations by the spectating audience here," he said. "We are conducting a hearing, and we will do so."
It's amazing how many Jew haters there are in America. Why don't those who rightfully oppose racial bias stand up for the Jews?
And there are reports by Israel haters that many Palestinians are starving due to Israel's terrible actions. However, all the videos and all the reports of serious journalists about what's going on in Gaza confirm lots of food, lots of healthy people, and lots of aid boxes all over the place.
And we've reported several times on this show about the food trucks that Israel's permitted to enter Gaza that don't get to the Gaza people. No report about where they end up. The UN is the one handling this. They're the ones that should be asked.
FBI Director Christopher Wray warned that foreign terrorist groups are looking to attack us in an increasingly concerning way. He said they are attempting to prevent a terrorist attack on our soil. Foreign terrorists, including ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and their adherents, have renewed calls for attacks against Jewish communities here and across the West. He then referred to a terrorist attack claimed by ISIS in Russia that left over 140 dead. Quote, "The foreign terrorist threat and the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, like the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia concert hall a couple weeks ago, is now increasingly concerning. October 7 and the conflict that's followed will feed a pipeline of radicalization and mobilization for years to come," he stated. And the FBI arrested an 18-year-old Idaho man for allegedly plotting a terrorist attack on local churches. The man is accused of telling an FBI informant about his alleged plans and that he wanted to launch an attack on Sunday, April 7, but was thwarted by officials.
I do not doubt what the FBI director said. I do note that he failed to mention all the terrorists we've already let into our nation with our open borders. Our nation is very, very vulnerable.
And a Ukrainian partisan movement operating in the occupied south of the country has reported mass desertions by Russian forces there, with Moscow's troops refusing to carry out combat missions. The Atesh, meaning fire in Crimean Tatar, movement has been operating in the southern Kherson region during Russia's invasion. It began in February 2022 and saw much of the southern portion of the country quickly occupied. Atesh gathers information on local Russian operations for Ukrainian intelligence and military forces while organizing local resistance. The group has also claimed killing of multiple Russian troops. Atesh wrote on his Telegram channel, quote, "Russian soldiers are disappearing en masse in the Kherson region. According to official reports received by the Russian Armed Forces Group Dnepr, we learned that the Orks refuse to carry out combat missions and willfully leave their places of temporary deployment," the group wrote, using a pejorative, Orks, commonly used by Ukrainians to refer to Russian soldiers.
We know that Russia is really hurting Ukraine, but it's clear that you Russians are really hurting too. I truly hope Western Europe continues to increase its support for Ukraine.
As their rivalry intensifies, United States and Chinese military planners are gearing up for a new kind of warfare in which squadrons of air and sea drones equipped with artificial intelligence work together like a swarm of bees to overwhelm an enemy. The planners envision a scenario in which hundreds, even thousands of them, engage in coordinated battle. A single controller might oversee dozens of drones. Some would scout, others attack. Some would pivot to new objectives in the middle of a mission based on prior programming. The world's only AI superpowers are engaged in an arms race for swarming drones that is reminiscent of the Cold War, except drone technology will be far more difficult to contain than nuclear weapons. Because software drives the drone's swarming abilities, it could be relatively easy for rogue nations and militants to acquire their own fleets of killer robots. Our Pentagon is pushing development of inexpensive, expendable drones as a deterrent against China acting on its claim on Taiwan. Washington says it has no choice but to keep pace with Beijing.
Yep, drones are a big part of our military's present and future. And by the way, how many hundreds, maybe thousand drones and other missiles were fired into Israel by Iran and their allies lately? We're getting there, aren't we? And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a veteran, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAfrontlines.com. That's CVAfrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with retired Air Force General Chris Walker. At ease, troops, take a break. In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Neighborhood Community Watch was established by the National Sheriff's Association back in 1972 in response to the rising crime of the 1960s. You can form your own Neighborhood Crime Watch by logging into www.nnw.org. Above all else, get to know your neighbors and work together as a community. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HealthVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HealthVet.net. HealthVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess, with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin. Find them at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. I'm afraid that too many people don't understand anything about war. Our last declared war was World War II, but we fought wars in Korea, Vietnam, and the Middle East. In wars, each country is trying to control the other. To use World War II as an example, it's unlikely that all Germans and all Japanese hated all Americans, but they did want their nation to win and cheered and supported their nation's military as they fought. We ultimately attacked both Germany and Japan. We bombed their cities. Our goal wasn't to kill all the civilians, but we needed to knock out the enemy, and that at least included the government and military and industry, and civilians always got hit. In 2006, the people of Gaza voted Hamas to rule them. Hamas then canceled all future elections, creating a dictatorship, and all that was supported by the Gazans. Hamas diverted hundreds of billions of dollars in international aid to build a huge underground labyrinth of military facilities, especially tunnels. Hamas runs the UN-funded schools in Gaza and teaches that all Jews must be killed. Since they've been doing this for generations, it's understandable that the Gazans hate the Jews. Hamas and the Gaza people are partners. Mothers rejoice when their children become suicide bombers and kill themselves and lots of Jews by blowing themselves up in a bus or a school. Japan started our involvement in World War II by attacking Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, the home of our naval forces in the area. They attacked our military. Hamas began the current war by deliberately attacking civilians. It massacred them on October 7th when they invaded Israel during a time of peace and holidays. And they fired over 7,000 rockets into Israel with civilians as their target. They weren't concerned about any death or damage to Israeli citizens. They murdered Israelis in cold blood, took hostages, and all the reports about hostages are that the ones still alive are continually sexually abused. Nice people, huh? Further, Hamas has always placed its terrorist centers in and around and under hospitals, schools, and mosques. They clearly do this for two reasons. One, they know Israel has respect for such places and won't attack such places if possible. And when Israel does attack them, the terrorists can blame Israel for such an attack, knowing that most of the world will condemn Israel. We're told by everyone that Israel wrongfully uses disproportionate force as they attack Hamas in Gaza. Yes, they use disproportionate force, as there is no other way a nation can win a war. You have to use violence that hurts the enemy more than the enemy can hurt you. Besides, what we did to Germany and Japan in World War II, our military in Iraq nearly leveled Fahula and Mosul by using disproportionate force to get the Islamic gunmen hiding behind innocent civilians. Hamas doesn't object to using any level of force against innocent Israeli civilians, but they sure whine when it's used on them. And somehow the world likes supporting terrorist groups when they're attacked. Before the current war, which includes Hezbollah firing rockets and the like from West Bank and Syria and other places, there was sort of a peace in the area, just occasionally terrorist attacks against Israeli citizens. The area was really a three-state solution, since Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank were all sort of separate states ruled by their own governments. Two of them were dictatorships. The government of Gaza and the West Bank, with the support of their citizens, institutionalized the, quote, from the river to the sea, end quote, agenda of destroying Israel. Israel was willing to live with its two neighbors as long as the neighbors were not seeking to kill them. It really gets me that the international community and even some Americans are demanding that Israel agree to a ceasefire, but there was a ceasefire in effect that Hamas broke when they attacked the civilians on October 7th and killed 12,000 Jews and took over 250 hostages. And yes, an Israeli strike did kill seven World Central kitchen workers earlier this month. The Israeli government acknowledged that strike on the aid workers was a grave mistake stemming from a mistaken identification, errors of decision-making, and an attack contrary to standard operation procedures. Several people have been relieved from duty. This is terrible, but this sort of thing happens in war, and this is a war. Further, the IDF announced significant steps to increase the amount of humanitarian aid entering Gaza, including through Ashan Port and Erzatz crossings serving northern Gaza and other new crossings, while continuing to campaign to free all the hostages, destroy Hamas's military capability, and drive Hamas from power in Gaza. Now that Israel has responded in force, Hamas wants a truce, especially as Israel has announced their reasonable decision to fight until Hamas is destroyed. And now, Iran seems to want to be in the war. They did fire a ton of missiles and rockets and drones last weekend. Most of them were shot down. Only one person was killed, a Muslim child. There are many Muslims, not all Muslims, who believe that there is their religious duty to kill all non-believers. This certainly includes their nearest non-Muslim neighbor, Israel. No one in the international community seems to be upset about that. But while the radical Muslims call Israel the little Satan, they call us the big Satan. So we should expect that when there's opportunity, they'll attack us. And have you noticed the very large number of illegal aliens crossing our border are military-age males from Muslim countries? And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, the internet went crazy recently with a picture of a Marine color guard at Mar-a-Lago. Many veterans and commentators speculated on why Marines in uniform and performing the formal duties of a color guard would be at a Mar-a-Lago event, which is a frequent location for political fundraisers and organizing for Donald Trump's political campaigns. You know, the U.S. military has long been a fiercely apolitical organization. Service members are not even allowed to speak at political rallies or wear their uniforms at political events to avoid giving the appearance that the Department of Defense endorses a particular candidate or a cause. So any event that is sponsored by a political campaign, such as a rally or fundraising event, would fall under those rules. However, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. In fact, it's been an increasing issue for the military the past several years. For example, the South Carolina Army National Guard investigated a major in 2019 after she was caught on video attending a rally in uniform for then presidential candidate Joe Biden. She even went further, saying on camera she was praying he would be elected to president. And there was a Marine who helped save a baby at the airport in Kabul in 2021 who came under scrutiny after former President Donald Trump invited him to appear on stage at a 2022 political rally. That Marine was later found not to have violated any DOD policies that limit service members' political activities, probably because he wasn't in uniform. So when pictures of the Marine Corps Color Guard attending the April 11th event at Trump's private club appeared on social media, there were a lot of questions of whether or not they had broke the law. The reality is the Marines were providing a color guard and static display for an event hosted by a nonprofit group called Gray Team that helps raise awareness about military and veteran suicides, and not a political event or anything to do with Trump, as many have suspected. And frankly, can you think of any better event for the Marines to really be involved with? For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I really enjoy your comments. That was great. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with General Chris Mookie Walker. Then we'll discuss entering West Point with Nathan Shang. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some wind sprints. Do them for a couple of miles, then stand at ease.
America's veterans sacrificed in service to this country. They deserve quality medical care after taking off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America was instrumental in expanding access to needed care to millions of veterans by getting the VA Mission Act passed. But that fight continues until all veterans can get the care they need.
You can help empower veterans with better health care options. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome retired Air Force General Chris Mookie Walker. Chris spent 40 years in uniform and thousands of hours in a C-130 flying all over the world. He served in Mogadishu and in the lead up to the Black Hawk Down incident and saw combat in Iraq and Afghanistan. He took command of the West Virginia Air National Guard in 2019. And retired last year. So he hasn't been bored. Well, welcome, Chris. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Oh, my goodness. So combat also includes the Balkans as well. Holy smoke. So I've seen a lot in my career.
You know, and seeing it from a distance is better than being in it. But hey, that we aren't in there to be it from a distance. We're the guys that are supposed to be up front. And we have
that's right. It's not for everybody. I tell people this all the time. Folks who say, hey, let's try and get everybody into the military, as many as we can. I go, what we need are butt kickers in the military.
Yes, sir.
not just everybody, because it's not for everybody.
Well, I'm fond of saying the only reason to have a military is to kill people and break things. And if we're really good at it, we have deterrence.
That's right.
But if we have wussies doing it, I don't mean to put them down, people that aren't inclined to be killing people and breaking things, then we're in trouble. Anyway,
then we have Iran being bold.
Well said. Chris, when and why did you decide to go to the Air Force Academy? What attracted you to the Air Force?
Okay, so as a kid, I grew up in Jamaica, Queens, New York. So that's in New York City, 2 miles exactly as a crow flies from JFK's runway.
Okay.
And I could walk out onto the street and turn to the left, and as long as no cars or trucks were coming to run me down, to stay there for hours watching aircraft depart and arrive 24/7 out of JFK. And I said, man, I want to do that. But what really cinched it was, so my father came to this country from Jamaica in 1957, my mother in 1960, and they both became citizens the right way. But again, during summertime, both of my parents worked, and so they'd send me to Jamaica to stay with my aunts and uncles. And so back then, as a kid, they used to let you into the cockpit, and the captain could put his hat on your head, and they'd pin these plastic wings on you. And I said, oh, my God, this is what I want to do. And my father, of course, was, well, no, not of course, but OK, you got to understand Jamaican families, similar to Indian families, similar to Asian families, in that, no, you're going to be a doctor or a lawyer. and I said, Dad, I don't know if I want that. You're going to be a doctor. And he would send me a lot of his friends who are doctors, dentists, to mentor me. And I say, that's all well and good, but the mentor has to know what the mentee actually wants. But I would take in their advice on how to excel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, okay, but I really want to fly. I didn't know anything about the military, zero nada. And I figured, you know what? Let me try for the Air Force, because you know, you and I both remember the series I Dream of Jeannie.
Yes.
And Roger Nelson was an astronaut and pilot. And I said, okay, Air Force is the way to go. I had no idea that the Army, Navy, and Marines have pilots as well. I had no idea. But in my mind, Air Force, so that's what I stuck with. Then in high school, senior year, which is a little bit late when it comes to getting into the service academies,
yeah.
I met a second lieutenant who was wearing the same uniform that Tony Nelson from My Dream of Jeannie was wearing. And I came up to him, hey, are you the Air Force? He goes, yes. He had just graduated, and I guess it's part of their gold bar recruitment program. I said, okay, I'm talking to a recruiter because I want to enlist and fly. He said, wait. You want to fly? Then you want to be an officer. And I said, I don't want to be a cop. I just want to fly. He said, oh, okay. There's enlisted and officers. I go, okay, I get it. But why should I have to be a cop? And he says, sit down. And he shut me and he educated me.
Okay.
And he told me, all right, so here's commissioned officers, here's enlisted, and then warrant officers. You know, we don't have any more in the Air Force, even though that's about to start soon on the cyber side. But he said, okay, if you really, 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 really want to fly, go to the Air Force Academy, because ROTC and OTS, they get the crumbs on flight slots left by the Air Force Academy. I said, well, then that's where I'm going to go. And when I went home to tell my father that, he flipped out because he said, no, you're going to be a doctor. I go, Dad, we keep having this discussion. But nevertheless, I decided I would not apply to any other institute of higher learning other than the Air Force Academy. And then my father said, hey, why not just apply to Rensselaer, Polytechnic, Purdue, Harvard, all these, just in case. I said, nope. And he was livid, but he went along with it. But like I said, I found out senior year of high school, and as much as I tried with my grades, my activities, I did not get in the first year, but I did get offered the Air Force Academy Prep School, where so I was an enlistee for a year. And they said, if you go through this, you're going to get into the Air Force Academy next year. I said, I'll take it. And so I was enlisted for a year and then joined the Air Force Academy in 1984 through 1988. And I got to tell you, because you're a West Point grad, it wasn't fun, but as I look back, it was worth it.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, because I didn't get to West Point the first time I applied either.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to college and then go. So we got that in common. This is Colonel Denny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Chris Walker. Okay, Chris, the most important question I have for you for this whole interview is, all you pilots have nicknames, and yours is Mookie. Tell me where that came from.
All right. So all started actually back in high school, where they were saying that I smile like Mookie Wilson of the New York Mets. And then I fought that, but they kept it up. I don't think I smile like Mookie Wilson. I don't know. I back then, there was no internet, so I couldn't really compare, but I didn't think I did. I fought it, but it stuck. It would have gone away, except I went to Brooklyn Tech, Brooklyn Technical High School, which is a pre-engineering high school in New York, back when New York was really serious about education. And two of my classmates of the class of 1983 at Brooklyn Tech went to the Air Force Academy, and then the word spread. And as much as I tried to fight it, I could not. And 40 years later, here I am as Mookie.
Okay. Well, I understand that.
you know, I don't understand the nickname thing, but I've got an awful lot of relatives that are Air Force pilots, and I'm just fortunate they haven't given me a nickname. Anyway, you served on active duty for a number of years, and then you went into the Guard, right? Talk about
that. Yes. So I was stationed at Little Rock Air Force Base, and there my commander told me, hey, I'd like you to think about going as an instructor to the schoolhouse where we teach incoming lieutenants and sometimes captains how to fly the C-130. And I said to him, you know, I'm not married. I'd prefer being in an operational squadron so that I can deploy and actually do what I was trained to do. And he said, think about it for a week. A week later, he came to me and said, have you thought about it? I said, yeah, I thought about it. And you know what? I'm still thinking the same way. There are a lot of married guys here who would love to be stationed at the schoolhouse at Little Rock, where they can be with their families at night and they don't have to be gone for months or years at a time. He said, you misunderstood me. You didn't. It's not really a request. You have no choice. I said, don't I? And so I called up. Back then, it was called MPC, Military Personnel Center. But now it's called Air Force Personnel Center. I called them up and said, hey, you have anything, any slots overseas that you're finding hard to fill? They said, would you be willing to go to Japan? I said, yes. And so so 1 week later, the director of operations, the DO, comes to me. Because I was a scheduler then, I was making some copies, and he goes into the copy room, closes the door, and looks at me and says, what the F is this with Japan? And I go, that's a tough question, sir, because I'm not sure what you're asking me. But he said, you got orders to Japan. I said, oh, did I? Okay, thank you. And they were not happy with me, but that's fine. I went to Japan. But then I was stationed at Yokota Air Base, flew all over Asia and the South Pacific and the Indian Ocean. But then my commander there says to me after a couple of years, hey, I heard you escape the schoolhouse, but you're not going to escape it this time. And I said, oh, am I not? And so then I called up a bunch of Air Force Reserve and Air National Guard units. And the Martinsburg 167th Airlift Wing in West Virginia said, hey, we'll take you. Come on. And so I went to my commander. I said, yes, I will escape it. Thank you. I'm out. And that's how I got into the Air National Guard.
So. Okay, we'll talk about that when we come back. There's more to talk about General Walker and his careers, and he's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, often. Then take a break, but stay in the area.
Spread out over a day.
I'll be right back. It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800-UCB-GOLD to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800-UCB-GOLD. That's 800-UCB-GOLD, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S.-only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com, 10% off promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Chris Mookie Walker. Chris, you told us basically how you learned about and got plugged into the Guard. The Guard has both full-time members and part-time members. Which were you?
So luckily, especially coming out of the active duty, not knowing anything about the Guard, I was fortunate enough where they had an opening as a full-time, what they call technician. It means I was a GS-12, but wearing uniform. And I said, technician, what's that? They go, full-time. I said, okay, that's all I need to know. I'll take it. I was only a technician probably for 2 years before I went part-time. And I worked for Lockheed Martin. I worked as an IT director for charter school. But the whole time I was flying a lot with the Air National Guard. And then 9/11 came. And this was back when I was a major. And we deployed pretty quickly after that. And after that, I was gone most of the time. The first time we deployed to Germany to supplement the 37th Airlift Wing, C-130s over there, as they went down into Southwest Asia, and we supplemented what they were doing around Europe. Then, February of 2002, my unit was asked, we need 3 volunteer crews to go down to Oman to fly in and out of Afghanistan. And I raised my hand. I said, hey, this is what we've been training for. Because one of our wing commander at the time had been forcing it. We hated it, but then we loved it. We hated it because we thought it was a drag. But then when we were in Afghanistan, we said, I'm glad Jesse Thomas did this. So Colonel Jesse Thomas forced us to do a lot of night vision goggle, NVG, flying into blacked out airfields to train. And we were saying, why are we doing this? And when we got to Afghanistan, we said, okay, I'm glad Jesse did that because now we're prepared. And it was harrowing at times, but we did it. I'm still here. And so that was a few months I was flying with the Texas Air National Guard and the Georgia Air National Guard. And we were all there flying in there. And then later that year, we were deployed again to Qatar. It was Camp Snoopy at the time. Because they hadn't really built up Al-Udeid Air Base, and we were flying in and out of Afghanistan there. Then I went back again in February of 2003, back to Masirah Air Base in Oman, where we were flying in and out of Afghanistan. And then soon, once the Iraq war started, we were flying into Iraq. And we said, okay, the way we fly into Afghanistan is going to be a little different from the way we fly into Iraq, because Iraq has real air defense systems. So the intel people would have to tell us what they thought was the best way of getting in. Sometimes we'd fly very, very high and spiral down. Sometimes we would fly 300 feet off the desert and then pop up. But we did what we thought was best for that day based on the intel that we had from all of the joint forces. But again, we were in the thick of it.
It sounds like you were not bored.
I was not bored. But you know what? I'm sort of a... adrenaline junkie. There are times where I was going, holy smokes, this is all right. The times when we were being shot at, you know, quite honestly,
you did your job.
The Iraqi forces weren't as formidable as they put themselves up to be. So
we're about out of time. You just retired from being the head of the Air National Guard in West Virginia.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I want a couple of questions about national issues. And then I got a couple more questions for you. My biggest national issue to me is Israel. I mean, they've basically been at war since they existed. The terrorists have never nonstop attacked them. And now this is going on. What's your perspective?
Okay, so one of the assignments I had back in 2010 through 2011, I was a senior member of the Combined Air Operations Center fighting the wars in Southwest Asia. But a big, big part of our planning and strategy was Iran. What happens with Iran? And I see now, sorry to say, but this present administration, it actually started with the Obama administration. They appeased Iran, trying to say the same mistake we did with China, saying, hey, let's be friends with them and it's all going to be well. It doesn't work that way. And so they tried to appease Iran, and Iran just used that to their advantage to become the prime player in the Middle East. So this latest attack, finally, Iran is not even hiding anymore. They were denying that they were behind the proxies with the Houthis and Hamas and even Hezbollah. But now they've attacked straight out of their country. Thing is, here's a double-edged sword on this. The coalition, along with Israel, the United States, France, and UK, knocked down most of those missiles and drones that were incoming. And so what's going to happen now is I think this administration is going to take the wrong lesson. And as we see, they're attempting to block Israel's right to retaliate, okay? But what's going to end up happening is, in my mind, the mullahs and all of the senior leadership in Iran are going to rush to build the atomic bomb, build nuclear weapons, while the Biden administration is shielding it. And then we're going to be in really big trouble.
Yes, sir. My biggest concern is that when two nuclear powers go at each other, and wow, we could go on for that for a while, but we're running out of time. This is Colonel Denny Gilliland, Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking to General Chris Walker. Chris, I know you have been serving our nation. I know you have plans to continue serving our nation. Talk to us about what you're thinking about doing.
Okay, so when I retired, my first inclination was to just relax, get on the Harley, go to the range, and improve my 600 to 1,000-yard shots with my 6.5 Creedmoor and my 308. But I had a lot of people pushing me, both within the West Virginia National Guard and folks at the Pentagon who I work with, to run for Congress. And then I said, you know what? I saw who was running, and one of my main opponent, he actually used to work for the Podesta Group as a vice president, lobbying for Iraq, Somalia, Chinese Communist Party, OxyContin companies, Azerbaijan. I said, okay, all entities that hate America. And so I said, you know what? There is an old quote by, I don't know if you know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is.
Yes.
But he said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Okay?
Yes.
God will not hold us guiltless. And not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. And I said, time for me to act. I can't let this guy go up there and be in the GOP and then get phone calls from John Podesta telling him how to vote. So I said, I'm going to run, and I intend on beating him so that we can actually have a safe America. I can get with a lot of the other veterans there in Congress so that we can actually pass NDAAs that will actually get us the munitions we need to win if/when the balloon goes up with China. Because right now, we don't have what it takes. We have enough, maybe two or three salvos, and then we're out.
Yes,
and
sir.
Because we've been giving it all to Ukraine and Israel. I said, there's $300 billion with a B, billion dollars frozen in Russian money that we can use for Ukraine. Let's use our money for our munitions and our southern border.
Well said. I've heard that less than 24 hours after you announced your candidacy, your opponent's campaign attacked your military service, even referred to you as a deluded veteran. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. As a matter of fact, I brought it up at a candidate forum in Hampshire County a little over a week ago, and my opponent blew up, and he jumped up yelling and screaming, "That's a lie, that's a lie." And I said, "We have the receipts right here. Here is the Twitter." And then he said, "You tell me when I said that." And he was almost crying. Being a senior guy and a general, I was almost feeling sorry for the guy. I was going, holy smokes, I wanted to cradle him. But I remembered he's the enemy. But he's crying. Said, "You tell me when I said that." And I said, "Riley, I didn't say that you said that. Your campaign said that. You're the commander of your campaign. So why should we send you up to Congress if you can't even control your own campaign?"
Well said.
He sat down and shut up.
Chris, I suspect that a lot of our listeners are going to want to learn more about you, plug into you, perhaps join your campaign, contribute to your campaign. How can they do that?
I urge all listeners to go to chriswalkerforcongress.com. The four is an F-O-R, not the number four. So chriswalkerforcongress.com. And on there, you can donate through the website, or there'll be an address where you can send a check if you'd prefer. And I appreciate all your help, because I want to crush this so-called rival of mine who called me a deluded veteran.
Chris, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for running for Congress. We need people like you in Congress. Thank you for doing what you're doing, for your continued service to our nation. God bless you, brother. I'm on your team.
Thank you so much.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Nason Shang, the young man headed to West Point. Then Ron Allen will present the Military Order of the Purple Heart, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gilliland on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones and maybe 20 push-ups. Grab from protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.